Welcome to Powell the Songs, a look into Powell gatherings in Minnesota, their historical and traditional significance, and the integral role of the drums, the singers, and their songs. And here's your host, Terry Goodsky.
Good afternoon. This is Terry Goodsky, and I'm sitting here at ACO, American Indian Community Housing Organization in Duluth, Minnesota. I'm sitting here with Sarah Curtis. Sarah, could you tell me a little bit about yourself?
My name is Sarah Curtis, or I'm Givi Payashik. Live in this community and work here, and I am a hand drum singer.
Okay, could you tell me a little bit about your roles as a hand drum singer? How you got started and, you know, your travels and stuff?
Well, I sing with an all-women's hand drum group, the Oshkikijik Singers, and I always wanted to sing. And I was never very good at it. Like, I couldn't sing in English. I still can't to save my life. But there was always something inside of me that I wanted to sing. And I went out to Sault Ste. Marie to an Anishinaabe Mohentaig conference. And one of the women's teachings workshop got canceled. And a woman from the Ode Minikwe Singers led the workshop and taught us some Anishinaabe songs and some women's songs on the hand drum, and I went and bought her CD and I listened to it for 7 hours, like all the way from Sault Ste. Marie back to Cloquet, the poor woman driving with me, until I learned every single word to every single song. And it just released something in me that singing was always something I wanted to do, and the way that I had to sing was with the hand drum and traditionally.
Okay, could you, I know you guys have a couple CDs out there. Could you kind of explain your one of your more popular songs is the Strong Woman Song. Mm-hmm. Could you kind of explain the origins of that?
Yeah, the Strong Woman Song is one of the first songs that our drum group learned together. And it comes from an elder named Maggie Paul. And when she was working in the community, and she was working in a penitentiary with Native women who were locked up, and she taught them that song about, you know, being a strong woman. And there was a riot in the prison, and really bad things were happening to the women in the jail, so then all the Indian women got together in a circle and sang this song, and they were all safe and all protected. And so it's kind of become an anthem of solidarity for women. You know, we sing it if someone needs some strength, or you sing it when you're feeling really strong, or you sing it as a prayer, but it's really an anthem for women.
Okay, cool. All right, can you tell me a little bit about your roles as a singer?
My role as a singer. I approach singing humbly because it is the only way I can do it. You know, I've been very fortunate that elder women, Mary Moose, Perfay, you know, different women like that have really taken, Anna Gibbs, have taken time with me to sit and teach me songs and gift me songs, you know, and tell me how to take care of my drum, that it's not a musical instrument, that the drum, you know, is to be taken care of, to feed it and how to feed it, and you know, learning songs for different ceremonies and learning fun songs and using songs for teaching. And I really look at my drum singing as a gift, and that my grandmas that came before me, you know, gave me that gift, and that I will use my voice in whatever way I'm asked to or whatever way I should.
Okay. Usually our roles in Ojibwe country are women. Are the keepers of our songs, and they're also the keepers of our drums. And there's anything you would like to, you know, say to the youth out there about, you know, singing with a hand drum, what would it be?
To not be afraid to use your voice, because singing can be scary, because it comes from a very deep part inside of you. And one elder told me when I was feeling shy about my singing, she said, you remember when you have all those elementary school little shows, the kids' shows, the Christmas pageants, and the kids are singing all kinds of off-key, and it's all a little bit miserable, but all the parents are there saying, oh, look at my baby, aren't they doing such a good job? That's how our grandmas see us when we sing, and that our voice is important, and Creator gave us our voice to sound like ourselves, and that if we don't use our voice, even through singing or talking or whatever, that no one else in creation sounds like us. So don't be afraid to use your voice, because you have it for a reason.
Okay, you said something about Oshki Gizik singers. What do you women represent?
We are a community group of women that got together, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, maybe longer than that. And we just sing for the joy of it, you know, coming together. People ask us to sing for certain things, but we got together singing as women because it was important to do. You know, is that, you know, our elders told us that this is what women did do. And these songs that we learned them, and, you know, we do have a couple of CDs, but by no means are we... you know, prideful or anybody about that. You know, we are just women to get together to spend that time with other women, because there's something very cool about Indian women when they gather, and especially when they sing.
All right. let's kind of take a couple steps back. How did, I can't remember if we already discussed this, but, you know, how did you become a singer first? Mm. You know, what was your process?
It was pitiful at first, because I come from a relocated family and my family is in foster care, and so I didn't grow up having Indian relatives who could teach me traditional things. And so I learned as an adult, and after that Anishinaabe Mohan TED conference, I wanted to sing so bad, but this is how pitiful I was, is that I went to Spirit Bay and bought a little hand drum kit, and I did my own prayers around it and made this tiny little child's drum that sounded like paper slapping when you hit it. And I spent a lot of time with that drum, and I would, you know, take it out all the time and turn on the CD and sing with it, and then I'd try singing without it. And I didn't have any like formal teaching. My friend Liz Jocla, she is by far the singer. That is her expertise. But I joined the group by accident. Liz busted me singing one day at an event, and she said, hey, I'm starting this women's group, will you come? And it took me maybe about 6 or 8 months before I actually showed up to a drum practice. And I remember thinking all of these different kinds of things, that they wouldn't think my voice was good, or I wouldn't be able to sing, and all these other women singers would be so good. And the very first time we sang the Strong Woman song, and the group was just learning it, and Liz said, hey, you know this one, you take second lead. And I just about wanted to crawl under a rock. I was so scared, but it's Liz Jocla, you don't mess with her. And so I took that second lead and I sang just way, just all pitiful and quiet. And after, one of the women came up and said, hey, you had a really good voice. I'm so glad you came to sing with us. And it wasn't a prideful thing like, oh yes, I have a great voice. But it was something that let me know that, you know, this is where I'm supposed to be, and there's support and there's encouragement. And around that drum, those songs, even if the songs don't have words and they're just vocables, there's something about gathering around that drum with that heartbeat that creates change in the very best way.
Cool. All right, I know we've known each other for a long time. Tell me a little bit about your roles as a lead singer.
Oh, yeah. I think teaching, that's the big deal. You know, once I found out, because people were very patient with me when I started singing, at first my voice was very quiet, And I could not sing and drum at the same time. That took especially a double beat or that buzz beat. That took me a while to be able to do. But then once I got confident with it and I knew the songs, I get really obsessed when I learn a new song. I listen to it over and over and over and over until it's in my head. And I remember them that way, that now I like to take and encourage people to do that. Like, hey, even if you're going to mess up on the lead, even if you're going to not do it quite right, at least try, especially when we're practicing, because then you're going to get used to how your voice sounds. And so I think, you know, doing that kind of lead stuff is really being a teacher and encouraging people to learn the songs, because then if we know the songs, our babies are going to know the songs and our grandkids are going to know the songs, and those kinds of songs are going to stay strong in our community.
As a singer, tell me how Sarah starts her day.
Yeah, I sing all the time. All the time. It's just something I do. In fact, I have a parrot, a talking one, in my house that goes, hey-ya, hey-yo, because I sing so much in my house, and we listen to everything from old country to hip-hop, but really with my son and I in the morning, we like to listen to round dance music, like Northern Cree, that Calling All Dancers, that's our favorite one right now, and just kind of sing and dance through our morning, and it puts us in a really good mood, and our energy's good for the day, but I'm always thinking and singing and listening to new music and going places where I can hear different songs and have different exposure, either singing with my hand drum or doing some backup singing, you know, those kinds of things.
It's a good thing about editing. I can always cut the booms out and stuff like that. All right, tell me a little bit more about your travels, you know, with Oshkosh Gigik as women hand drum singers.
Oh, we've been all over the state for sure. We started out just with small community events like on Fond du Lac, Child Abuse Prevention Walk, like doing those kinds of things. We have a gathering once a year where women come and sing. We went to Seneca out in New York in 2009. That's when our group won the best traditional CD out there. That was very funny because it turns out Indians like to tease. And when we called other Native musicians about what we should wear out to the award show, they said, hey girls, it's fancy. You have to dress formal. So a bunch of grown-up women went to David's Bridal and basically bought prom dresses and went out to Seneca, and yeah, there were a whole lot of jeans and bolo ties, and then 11 of us in formal wear. It was so funny. But so we went out there, we won the award that year, we sang at the award show the next year. We've been out to California singing. We go wherever we're really asked to go. We've done some education with Minnesota teachers, and we do a lot of conferences around women's issues and social issues, and share a voice in that way.
All right. Cool. All right, is there anything else you'd like to add about Sarah Curtis? Rose was a singer and a positive role model?
Oh, goodness. Positive role model.
Yes, you are a positive role model.
I think that what is so important is that we live our culture, that we are Native because it is inherent in our DNA. Like, our culture, our songs, our traditions, it's not a little black bag that only a couple people get to look inside of. And that we share what we know with other people in a kind way, so that they feel like they can participate too, because I know in my life with my family, that wasn't the case, and I didn't hear Anishinaabe being spoken around me as a child, but now my son knows Ojibwe children's songs, and he, you know, the other day he told me to weep when I was taking too long, you know, and so he will use the language back to me, and he is automatically just proud when he sees an Indian on TV. He says, look, Mom, an Indian like us. You know, and that we, as a singer especially, you know, sharing those songs, teaching those songs, making people used to hearing how it is, and that that is what's normal, is what we should all work on together as a community.
All right. Pretty positive. All right. I'd like to thank you, Sarah, for your kind words and your knowledge. As always, it's always fun to come hang out with you and see you, and actually hear you guys listen and your progress over the years. But just so you know, I will be using some of your music as your background for your interview. So one of these days, I'm going to have to, give you a copy of your interview.
Okay.
That way you can see how you sound. But thank you.
Oh, me gracias.
Powwow the Songs is produced by KBFT, Boise Fort Tribal Community Radio, with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, online at kbft.org.